Texas overtaking California as the top state for Fortune 500 headquarters tells a story much bigger than corporate relocations. The 2026 Fortune 500 list shows Texas hosting 57 company headquarters versus California's 56, reversing a lead California held just 2 years ago. This represents the largest geographic shift of corporate power in decades.
What's driving this isn't just tax policy, though that matters. Texas offers lower operational costs, fewer regulatory constraints, and increasingly sophisticated infrastructure that rivals Silicon Valley. But the speed of this shift suggests companies are making strategic bets about where future growth will come from, and they're betting on Texas rather than California.
Treasury nominee Scott Bessent's explosive Senate hearing, where he told senators he threatened to kick Polk's ass, reveals how confrontational the new administration's economic team is willing to be. This wasn't a slip of the tongue. Bessent was describing a deliberate threat against a critic, and he's proud enough of it to repeat it under oath to senators.
Bessent's ruling out benefit cuts or tax hikes to fix Social Security creates a mathematical puzzle that's worth examining. Social Security faces a funding shortfall within the next decade. If you eliminate benefit cuts and tax increases, you're left with economic growth as the only solution. That requires growth rates we haven't seen consistently since the 1990s.
The Supreme Court's unanimous backing of a generic drug maker in a patent case could reshape pharmaceutical pricing in ways that affect millions of Americans. When the Supreme Court unanimously supports generic drug access, it typically signals they're prioritizing consumer access over pharmaceutical company intellectual property protection. This could accelerate generic drug availability and reduce prescription costs.
Four GOP senators again blocking the SAVE Act voter ID amendment during Thursday's Votorama shows how fractured Republican unity has become on election issues. The same quartet that sank the measure in April voted no again, suggesting this isn't tactical maneuvering, but fundamental disagreement within the party about voting restrictions.
Six GOP senators backing the Democratic bid to block what's being called the Trump ballroom indicates broader Republican concern about corruption perceptions. When senators from your own party are voting against your administration's facilities or arrangements, it suggests they're worried about political damage from association.
The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency chief statement that only Democrats are pressuring him on Trump's crypto charter reveals how cryptocurrency regulation has become completely partisan. When banking regulators are facing political pressure split along party lines, it makes consistent policy implementation nearly impossible.
Judge weighing whether to block Trump's student loan forgiveness rule before the July 1st deadline puts $400 billion in potential debt relief in legal limbo. The timing is crucial. If implementation is blocked after July 1st, millions of borrowers who were expecting relief could face sudden payment resumptions they're not prepared for.
The curriculum corner on antitrust law is relevant here because we're seeing corporate concentration and political power intersect in new ways. The Sherman Act, passed in 1890, defines monopoly not just by market share, but by the ability to control prices and exclude competition. When Fortune 500 companies are relocating to gain political and regulatory advantages, they're seeking different types of market power than the Sherman Act originally anticipated.
What connects these stories is the breakdown of traditional boundaries between corporate strategy, political alignment, and regulatory capture. Companies aren't just seeking competitive advantages through better products or services. They're seeking structural advantages through geographic positioning, political alignment, and regulatory relationships.
This creates systemic risks because it makes economic outcomes more dependent on political outcomes. When corporate success depends heavily on regulatory positioning and political relationships rather than market performance, it distorts investment decisions and creates vulnerabilities to political instability that traditional economic analysis doesn't capture.